Well, I think they were both right. Potluck, yes, next Sunday. So we'll be coming together for a church family dinner and also communion as well. So I encourage you to come next week. I would mention as well, apparently COVID numbers have gone up recently in Durham. So we're kind of keeping an eye on all of this, what we're going to do, you know. But if there's need for change, we'll let you know. Secondly, the other thing that happens is that we move to summer hours. Woohoo! Yeah, and actually, one of the reasons why we do this is it really seems to help with attendance. During the summer, we go to 10 a.m. And so 10 o'clock, and then we're, you know, done in plenty of time to beat the Baptist to the salad bar, and unless we're staying here. So, I mean, I think those are, Pam, and any other announcements I'm missing? Okay, we're good. How many? Only two. That's right. That's right. Alexander and Adam. Lord, bless them. Yeah. And Father, bless all of our students. And bless, Lord, our teachers. Bless our Sunday school teachers right now and the time that they have together. In your word, we pray for revelation of your spirit to move, to help, to bless. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, this is one of those sermons where I started writing it, walked away, and had to start all over. The events of the past week have been hard. I started writing it after the events of the week, and it was just a little bit too raw, and I had to come back. And that's why, by the way, I want you to know, my sermons are done on Wednesday, and there's a reason for that. I'm not a Saturday night kind of preacher, and the reason for that is that my head is so thick sometimes it takes a few extra days just to make sure I'm hearing. And there's always a Sunday morning edit as well. But it's been a hard week. And in times like this, we need to turn to the Word of God. We need to turn to God. I don't know about you, but I've been sick of the TV this past week. I mean, I've been sick of people who, you know, are politicizing this from both ends. You know, one week you hear one group shouting about abortion rights, and then the next week that same group is calling the other people baby killers. It makes your head explode. And then you know, from the other side, you see people who are doing the same thing that the other group was doing, so holding on to their rights that they're not willing to really even think and discuss. Well, maybe some things happened here that we can fix. You know, we need to be careful in this conversation to be people of the kingdom who listen first to God and you know, go from there. Because last I checked, my citizenship is in heaven, first of all. And what we need most of all is the love of God to move in our country. And it's challenging, isn't it? We can get so wrapped up with political perspectives, regardless of where our natural leanings may lie, that we can get fired up and and miss the Spirit. And that's where we have to be, in the place of hearing the Spirit of God. So Monday, before any of the news of the week, God led me to choose the scripture from our readings for this Sunday. So let's go there. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Moses' words to Israel before they crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. But before we go there again, may we pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Be thou our vision. Keep our vision sharp and our hearts in tune with you, with your truth, with the beauty of all that you are, that we may shine light in darkness for the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you were crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Again, this reading comes out of our Through the Bible in 2 Years endeavor. This was one of our readings for the past week, and you could sum up this passage with one arching word over all. That word is remember. Remember. But remember whom? Remember what? I want to break down today's scripture into 3 different sections. We'll put a small title before each one, and the first is right out of verse 3, be careful. Let's go to verses 1 through 3. The commands that Moses is talking about in the first verses are the big 10 from the chapter right before Deuteronomy 5. I had a conversation with a friend this past week. It told me a lot about the days that we live in. You know, sometimes when people find out that you're a pastor, they have one of 2 reactions. Either they aren't themselves around you and you don't get invited to their parties anymore, which is a shame, you know, because Jesus did. It's one of my things, one of the things my wife says, why don't we get invited to the good parties, you know? And she's Cuban and they love to have parties, you know, they're very social people. So, you know, the other thing that happens is that there's just kind of this funny thing, but immediately your conversations sort of become this drive-through confessional. And he starts in, you know, I've been really cleaning up my mouth. And it used to be I'd say God's name in the worst ways, and I didn't even realize I was doing it. It was just a habit for me. Yeah, I responded, habits aren't easy to change, but it's awesome you're doing better with it, because that's actually 1 of the 10. I guess I couldn't help sounding like a pastor, right? But the commandment we're talking about is the third one. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. And yet, just turn on TV. Sometimes in our emphasis upon the grace of God, we neglect to talk about the gravity of sin. We just do. As if the Ten Commandments have somehow, you know, they've just lost some of their clout. But Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, don't think that I've come to abolish the law of Moses or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. In other words, in him we see the reason for the commandments, that God's name should be honored because God is worthy to be loved and his way is good for us. That's the rationale that you see starting to unfold in verse 2, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. That word fear is also reverence. It's this deep-seated, it involves both awe and respect and also even affection. Fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, here's the question. Obviously, this was written for another people in a very specific setting in history. But can we take this and extrapolate it for the times that we live in? We can, insofar as the truth that God remains the same and does not change. That this shows us that he is good and longs to bless us and do us good. We can, insofar, if one believes in the manifest destiny of the founding of this country, and that is a whole other long conversation we could get into, because from the very beginning in our country, you see both godly people in the Plymouth Colony, in the Plymouth Colony there were some godly people. You see the profit motive in the Virginia Colony. But specifically in the Plymouth Colony, the way that whole scenario came about is fascinating, and clearly God was at work in the lives of these people. And does God have a purpose for the ways he has led our country? Absolutely he does. Do we do well to heed him as a nation? Absolutely we do. And it seems that whenever one talks about America these days, what one hears are all of our faults and ungodly things that have been done in our past. And we must certainly recognize them. But we also forget all of the good that has occurred. We forget the lives of people like David Brainerd, who died of tuberculosis because he was out in, quote-unquote, a howling wilderness, because he knew God's call on his life was to preach the good news of Jesus to Native Americans, whom he recognized were fully, fully created in the image of God, just like you and I. So there has been, since the beginning in this country, you know, this beautiful moving of the Spirit of God in individual hearts. And also the moving of the spirit of greed in individual hearts. And the question is, where do we come down? Where do you and I move forward together as a nation? Let's go to the next section, because the truth is God is good and He longs to bless us and longs to do us good, even in a world that is broken by sin and evil and bent inward on ourselves. God longs to turn us outward, to be literally a power for good in our nation and in our world. But you've heard enough pontificating this week, and I don't want to do that. I just want to go to verses 4 through 6. Next section, let's just call it love well. Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. This one verse is a vital prayer and concept in Jerusalem. It's known as the Shema, after the first word, which literally means hear, listen, pay attention. It's one of the first verses and prayers learned by Jewish children. It's at the heart of what it means to be Jewish. And the second part of the prayer and command that comes with it is the first verse, love the Lord your God, or the next verse, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Jesus called this the greatest commandment. And this is the law and teaching that Jesus came to fulfill, that Jesus personified. It's all about this love relationship with God. And notice how we are to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, because He is worth that much. We cannot live without Him. We do not exist without Him. We do not breathe without Him. There's not a synapse in our brain that fires without Him. Not a breath in our lungs. He sustains us every moment that we live. And that's why verse 6 continues, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. The heart, as understood by Moses in the Old and New Testament, define who we are. It's where our motivations and our love lies. Our faith is to be a heart thing more than anything else. Loving God comes first. Loving others follows because He loves them and they are created in His image. He loves them so much He would go to a cross and die for them to bring Him home to Himself. So you and I are called to be people of the heart, people of His heart. If people know that we love well, they will want to be part of that love, because God's love is irresistible. When it truly shines through us, people can see it and are drawn to it. So the first section was be careful. The second, love well. And the third is share well. Notice the direction loving God and following His commands lead us to. Verse 7, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads. This is something you still see among Orthodox Jews today. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. In other words, everything depends on this. Keep it this close. Give yourselves reminders. whatever drops, let it be that. Let that be at the heart of our lives, the thing that calls our attention in the moment. Moment by moment, keep coming back there. Because this is how you and I live. And we cannot live without this. Not that this is all up to us, but that God will help us as we do, as we reach for Him. Make it count because it matters. Teach your children. Talk to them about this. Because if you turn from God, your source of love, your source of life, it will not go well. And if that isn't a word for our culture today, I don't know what is. The truth is, the phenomenon that we know as school shootings, I did some research on it this week, and it's amazing. The worst of it really started in the 70s. And the truth is that school shootings they've been around now and then, usually an instance of you know, someone bringing a gun to school, or someone in the 1800s seeking revenge on a teacher, for example. But to see the degree that things have changed, you really have to look from the 70s, and then it really starts to ramp up in the 90s. And it seems to take another turn even now. Now, the interesting thing is that the means of mass destruction from guns and dynamite have always been around. But the human heart and the culture have changed. There are other things that we need to consider as well, including, for example, the use of marijuana. And I tell you this as the father of an addict. This is not a reefer madness moment. But there are some very interesting studies about correlations between marijuana use and the onset of mental illness, especially where there is a proclivity toward paranoid schizophrenia. As a matter of fact, in each of the past three school shootings, including the one in Uvalde, there was the previous practice of pot use. Now, it doesn't have that effect on everyone. For some people, it's different. But here, we live in a culture which is now nationalizing this conversation. So let's have it. For a secular book, I highly recommend Alex Berenson's Tell Your Children. It's an excellent book that takes a look at this subject. It's real. It's real. And I know this because as a dad, when my kids were going through some pretty strong times of smoking pot, I noticed a correlation in violence in their behavior. And it's a fascinating subject that our superficial culture doesn't want to go toward, because they immediately look at just the initial effects of pot use. Oh, it mellows you out. It gives you the munchies. It makes you funny. Okay, but what about a few days later? Well, again, conversations need to be had and not commercialized in our culture. And yet that is exactly what we've done. We need the wisdom of God to move into our hearts and our souls and our minds as we love him well, because he can give us direction that we so desperately need. And in all of this, we need to be careful to love well as we share this faith that we have been blessed with. Because what we need to do is respond and not react to these things happening in our culture. To respond takes a moment. It means that you have to bow your head and you have to humble yourself before God. And you have to seek his word. And as you encounter that person who is so different from you, how do you love? Well, the only way we can do it is if God loves through us. The other day I was, and I shared this in Sunday school, I don't think I shared it in worship. I was in Food Lion, and there was a lady, did I share this in worship or not? About the lady at the deli counter? I shared it in worship? Shared it in Sunday school. Okay. So it was when there was this whole matter of, the Roe versus Wade question just hitting the news. And this lady is looking for help behind the deli counter, and I'm walking by, and she says, "You're a man, you have a big voice. Why don't you shout for someone to come help me?" So I did. Head turned, but there was nobody back there. And then the lady kind of goes off on her own, and she sort of mumbles something about Roe versus Wade. And I'm thinking, huh? What does that have to do with someone behind the deli? And I'm thinking, this is an interesting moment. And she turns to me, and it's, "What do you think?" kind of thing. And my response is, "Well, life is precious. Life is precious," I just said kind of softly and gently. And then she turns to me very angry, just immediately angry. And she says, "Well, but it's her body. It's not your choice." To which I responded, "Well, now that's interesting, because that's the very same thing that the other side was saying during the vaccination debate. That you have a right to determine what happens to your body." And she just looks at me, and you can tell there's this cognitive dissonance that she can't kind of get through. And I realize at that moment I've overstepped. And she just turns and she says the first thing that comes to mind. This is a woman, by the way, she's kind of wearing these horn rimmed glasses, and she's in her mid to late 60s. And, seems kind of academic in her nature. And at that point, the conversation is anything but academic. She looks at me and she says, "You're full of it." And I'm like, and I just, the Lord gave me the presence of mind in that moment to say, "But life is precious. Life is precious." And after that, I realized my calling was to get out of Dodge. But how are you and I to encounter a culture that is itself reactive and angry? Is itself immediately going to run to the non sequiturs of ad hominem arguments? "You're a racist. You're whatever else." Unless you and I are keeping God very close, so close that it's this on the doorways of your houses. You know, this reminder on my thumb, you know, what I mean, so close. I need reminders because if it's up to me, you know, I'm going to go for the debate every time. And I shouldn't. What I need is the love of Jesus to shine through me. And fortunately, when she poked me that day, that was the first thing that came out, but not the second. And I don't know about you, but oh, we need to love Him so that He loves through us, because this is our world's deepest need. He is our deepest need. His Spirit, His love, His presence, His truth. And if we follow Him from the heart, then we will love others from the heart, because He will be heart close. And when you prick us, that will be what comes out. Because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. He is our light. He is our hope. He is our strength. He is our love in every way. May we pray. Lord, You have saved us out of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of Your Son, in whom we have redemption from sin, salvation. And Lord, we praise You. We praise You. You came for this very reason, to set us free, to help us walk into life. And Father, I ask that You just help us be Yours. Just Yours. In a way that clearly becomes evident. In a way that is unmistakable, because Your Spirit just moves. Help us to be... As was said of Mary by the early church fathers, Theotokos, literally God bearers. Fill us, Holy Spirit, to love like You. In Jesus' name, amen. I am to seek Your face. turn on my microphone again. Thank you, Ken. We do hand signals sometimes at peace. Ken was back there. Ken will be on the side for prayer and will be up here in the area as well. Okay. If you guys need to head out, go ahead. Because I know you're going on a camping trip. So, God bless you all. Keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and know that shining upon you is his favor, his light, his love. Go in peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.